You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Hope you all had a great weekend. As always, Vlad or Shohei for MVP. We're going to talk about that. You guys give us your opinions. We'll give you ours. Sox sweep the Yanks again, and Tatis goes yard. Not one, not two, but three times, all by the fourth inning. We're going to go over all that and some series recaps. Shane Mohan, join with my co-host, Avery Redd, as always. Let's get into the numbers.
What's going on, guys? I am starting it off with the National League this week, I believe, right?
Yes.
All right. I got the National League. We had a lot of splits, I feel like, this week. But let's break into it. First off, we got the Philadelphia Shitters at the New York Mets.
Worst shit in the series.
We got a 2-2 split here. Mets win games 1-3. Phillies win game 2-4. A lot of decent pitching in this series. Aaron Nola in game one ties Tom Seaver's record of 10 straight strikeouts. That's the Nola I was expecting to see this year. Sometimes we see little flashes of him, but he winds up going 5 1/3, two hits, no runs, and 12 Ks. And the Phillies still looks like a great start for him, but they actually do some damage against DeGrom. 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs. Raises his ERA to a crazy 0.69. And in the last game of the series, Zach Wheeler shoves 7 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 8 Ks. He continues his dominance.
Yeah, you didn't say that again, motherfucker.
Shut up.
Better than Scherzer.
Shut the fuck up, Tony. For some hitting standouts in this series, we do have Nick Maton for the Philadelphia Phillies. He had an RBI single against DeGrom. That should just get you on here automatically.
2 runs off his ass. We have a third of them all year.
I'll tip my cap. I'll tip it. Cap is tip. Take a guess what I'm wearing on my head right now.
Take a guess at how many fucks I give.
my Rays helmet. My popcorn helmet.
The ice cream bowl.
Actually, it was popcorn.
Whatever the fuck it was. There was food in it, now you're wearing it.
You motherfucker!
Anyway, back to the series. Pete, small meat Pete, goes 6-for-14 with a double and a ribby. And Kevin Pillar, 2 dingers in the series.
Dude, yeah, one of them was off the fucking bench.
Yeah, I saw that. I was watching. It's pretty hype.
Pinch hit nuke to tie the game in the 8th.
Well, anyway, it's a series split for the two division rivals. Phillies now fall to 36-39 on the season, and the Mets are 40-33.
I'm cool with that. I'm honestly cool with this because it basically means the series didn't happen. Nothing changed. 500 each. We'll take it.
That is true. Good way to look at it.
Against the hot Mets team, even though that record isn't as good as some of the other top dogs, they're a good team.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Another NL East matchup. We got the Washington Goats playing the Fish in Miami. Another series split. Nats take the bookends of this one, and the Marlins take both games in the middle. Kind of frustrating series.
Up on you guys in game 2. Holy shit.
Shut up. Kind of a frustrating series because we should have won game 3. That was a rough one. Game 2, they were just a better squad. But we did have some solid pitching. Joe Ross in game 1, 7 shutout with 8 Ks. And that guy that we talked about last week for the Fishies, Zach Thompson. He's a beast, dude. He was carving us the fuck up.
We're seeing his name a little often lately. Maybe he's on a surge.
6 innings, 1 run, 11 Ks against the Nats.
Zach Thompson, double-digit Ks.
And his last start, he threw a no-hitter through four. So maybe this guy's somebody to watch for. And in game four, not surprisingly, Max Scherzer, six innings, a one-run ball with seven Ks. And some hitting standouts for this
dude. Shit. He's using gel, to be honest.
Shut up.
Nobody's head looks that fucking wet out of a shower unless he's fucking using shit.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he's not sweating, asshole. Some hitting standouts. We got the GOAT Kyle Schwarber going 5-for-15 with three nukes and five RBIs.
Bro, Jesus, this guy.
Bet you you're sick of hearing his name.
I'm not. I've always been a fan of him.
Damn right.
Playing for your shit squad.
And Juan Soto going 4-for-15 with three doubles and three ribbies along with two walks. He's starting to heat up. And for the fishies, Garrett Cooper. 4-for-7 with a nuke, two doubles, two ribbies, three walks. Nice series from him. And John Birdie, 6-for-14 with a double, a homer, and two stolen bases. Yeah, with that. What'd you say?
Let's give a nuke to him.
Shut up, dude.
John fucking Birdie takes your
We're known for giving up nukes to guys that never hit him, hence the Janikowski nuke.
Yeah, we gave up a triple to his ass and fucking at Marlins Park, dude.
Yeah, yeah, and Jazz Chisholm, he led off two games with a triple. Game three and four, he both led off with a triple. So that was pretty annoying.
He's
going
to be a thorn in our side for years, man.
Yeah, he will. But he is an exciting player. Gotta admit.
Exactly.
All right, moving on here. Another NL East team, not playing a rival, but we got the Braves at the Reds. Another split. Reds take games 1 and 3. Braves takes games 2 and 4. Four-game sets are so boring when they end in a split. And all these damn series have.
I agree. I'm not the biggest fan of four-game series because a split literally makes it as if the series didn't happen.
Yeah, that's facts. Because, yeah, if, say, the Braves win the first – or the – say in the Phillies and Mets case, Phillies win the first two. They just gained two games, and then the Mets win the last game or the last two, and they just gained them right back. So it's like nothing happened.
Exactly. It should all – every series should be three games.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. But it is interesting when you see the teams getting the four-game sweeps and shit.
I would honestly wouldn't be opposed to a five-game set amongst division games.
I don't know. I feel like that's a little too much because then you're seeing every starter. You're seeing all five of their starters in one series.
That's true.
What series was I on? Braves-Reds?
You were just wrapping up Braves-Reds, talking about the stats,
Yeah, so pitching Luis Castillo finally has a good start. Hasn't had many this year. Seven innings, six hits, no runs, six Ks. Nice bounce back from him. And in game four, Kyle Muller, not too familiar with him, but he's a pitcher for the Braves. Five innings, one hit, no runs, and nine Ks. So maybe I should learn a little more about him.
He must be, you know, his replacement long term.
Well, you know, he should be coming back in the next, like, month or so. And then, but I heard Soroka. Didn't he, like, re-injure himself from walking in the clubhouse, I heard? I heard he re-injured himself from, like, something super stupid, and he's going to be out for the rest of the year. Had more surgery. Jack sucks for Braves fans. Yo.
Now I can hear you.
Yeah, my bad. Philly, or I was just talking about the Braves. I'm kind of ready to give up on them, to be honest. They just look like they got no fight in them.
The Braves?
Yeah, they just look like they got no fight in them. The Phillies, Nats, and Mets all look like they want it more than them. I mean, they're dealing with it.
See, I disagree.
Really?
I disagree because I feel like Acuna is going to stay hot. And when the rest of this lineup looks at that, you can't tell me that doesn't fuel people.
I know, but they got no pitching. Soroka's done. Freed's on and off the IL, and even when he's healthy, he's not the greatest pitcher.
Morton looks pretty good, though.
He's been all right. He's had a few decent starts, but he's not been anything special. What's his ERA?
I want to say it's like 3.3.
3.6. Man, it looks like he has been pitching a lot better since I looked at his stats last, but
yeah.
Yeah, shit, he is kind of having a nice month, but
same, bro.
I don't know. I don't think they won it enough. After losing Ozuna and they're without Darno, they're without a lot of guys right now.
When's Darno coming back?
I don't know. Sometime in the next, like, month or so, I think. I just think that the Braves, Phillies, or the Phillies, Nats, and Mets all look like they want it more.
I agree. And I think the only shot the Braves have of doing anything is if they – can get a few pieces at the deadline and then really turn it around in the second half, like get on a streak, a few streaks.
Yeah, I just think that whole Marcell Ozuna thing kind of really, I don't know, just fucked them.
No doubt, dude. That was a big shot to the lineup.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's one thing when somebody gets injured and you can wait for him to come back, but when somebody's just gone and you know they're never coming back and it's just like, because they still have to pay him, I presume.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but I imagine they got to pay him the money he's due. I think they just
got to fill out the rest of this year's contract.
Yeah, so that's a big fucking blow for him. But anyway, the Braves are now 37 and 40, and the Reds are back at 500 at 38 and 38. You're a big Reds guy, we know.
Again, series that means nothing because of a split.
That is true.
But Castellanos continues to rake.
Yeah. 6 for 15 with a dinger and 5 ribbies.
And it's good when guys like India can get you on base a lot.
Yeah, I like India. He's going to be a hell of a player in a few years, I bet.
No doubt.
And we got an interesting series. We got Cubbies at Dodgers. The Dodgers, they were looking kind of shitty. They got swept by the Padres, and they got no hit by the Cubs in the combined no-no in game one. But then they looks like they got sick of the losing, and they showed everybody, you the bosses, take the last three games against the Cubbies and to take the series 3-1. So besides that game one no-no from the Cubbies, it was complete domination from LA. Some pitching standouts, of course, Zach Davies in game one. He went 6 no-hit innings, did walk 5, but struck out 4. Of course, no-hit outing is never bad. And we got a little vintage Clayton Kershaw in game 4. 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 13 Ks.
That might be some of the highest K numbers we've seen yet this year. I know Wheeler hit 14.
Scherzer hit 14 against the Yankees.
Yeah. Nice outing from Kershaw against a good lineup.
Yeah, vintage Kershaw. Definitely one of my favorites. We had a belly walk-off in game 3. Walk-off dinger. He had 2 homers on the series. And Zach McKinstry also had 2 homers on the series. And for the Cubbies, we had Javi Baez going twice, but pretty much domination by the Dodgers besides that first game. And we got the Rockies at the Brew Crew. Brew Crew handles them, sweeps them 3-0. Corbin Burns in game 1 goes 6 innings at 1 hit or 1 run ball, 7 Ks.
Yeah, pause this shit.
In game 3, Eric Lauer, 6 innings, 2 hits, 0 runs, 6 Ks. Don't know much about that guy. I think he's a lefty. And for some hitting standouts, Keston Hiera, 4 for 11 with 2 bombs, and one of my favorite catchers in the league, Martin Nevaez, 2 for 7 with a dinger and 3 ribbies. He keeps raking.
He is doing nice this year. I think he's one of those hitting catchers that's kind of just coming out of nowhere and starting to lead in some stats, especially hitting. I know he's got a handful of nukes.
Yeah, I don't know how many he has, but he's been a beast. He's definitely been a top catcher this year. 15? What was that?
I think he has like 16.
I don't know if he has. Does he? He only has 7.
What?
Well, he only has like 170 at bats.
Way off. My bad.
But he's got like a 130 something WRC plus, so he's killing. And how many more did we got here? 2 more National League series for myself. We got a kind of surprising one here. Pittsburgh at the Cardinals. Now, here is a team I am ready to give up on, and that's the Cardinals. Pittsburgh takes 3 of 4 from them in their own house. That is not what you want to see. No. But I think people are sleeping on Pittsburgh going in there, playing them, thinking they're an easy dub. They got a few sticks, like, because most teams, when they're really in the shitter, you don't see many threats in their lineup. But this team, I mean, you got Brian Reynolds, Adam Frazier. These have been some of the best hitters in the league this year. Key Brian. I mean, Gregory Polanco can swing it a bit. Colin Moran. They got some decent names to be scared of here. And
I think it's that whole underestimation thing that they're taking advantage of.
They are.
I can't hear you, bro.
What was that?
Keep cutting out.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. It's because I moved my computer. They were just in complete domination the whole series, though. Chad Kuhl in game 1, 6 innings of 1-run ball. Adam Wainwright in game 3 for the Cardinals, the only one that showed up for him this series. 6 innings of 1-hit, 1-run ball with 8 Ks. And Max Kranick, what a fucking debut for this guy. 5 perfect innings with 3 strikeouts.
Not bad. I wish they would have let him go a little longer, though. I was surprised that, I mean, maybe his pitch count was up, but
perfect, I don't know what his
5 perfect innings. It can't be that high.
I don't know what his pitch count was, but I mean, first start of his career, you don't want to blow him out already.
Yeah, I would have let him go a couple more, though.
Yeah, but if he's not going to go the whole distance, then what's the point of leaving him in?
I really think it's pitch count, man.
No, he was only at 50 pitches.
Right. Let him throw 20 more.
Yeah, you definitely could let him go a little longer, but I don't know. Maybe no, he's from Scranton, PA.
Nice. Shout out to Kranick, the local boy.
Let's check out his minor league numbers and see. Nothing special in the minors. Well, maybe they found something good with this guy, but it's only 1 start. Over for the hitting side of things, Brian Reynolds, one of my favorite players in the league right now, 7 for 17 with a dinger and 6 RBIs. And then Adam Frazier, 7 for 15 with a dinger and an RBI and 3 walks. Pirates lineup's kind of heating up right now.
Yeah, and on the flip side, that Cardinals lineup is doing dog shit, dude. The highest average in their lineup is Nato batting .266. Followed by my rookie of the year pick, Dylan Carlson at .265. I mean, if your top batters aren't batting at least .290, .280, there's a problem. And yeah, I think this team's going south pretty quick in regards.
Dude, I've been telling you all year, have I not been saying I don't like them?
You have. And I really couldn't see it because they have a lot of good pieces.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, I was just trying to look back at my Instagram post to see, like, because I haven't made anything that's, like, shown me calling this shit, and it's pissing me off because I've been saying for a while that Boston is going to be a possible contender. I didn't think they were going to be this good, but you know I've been saying to look out for them.
No doubt.
And I've been saying that St. Louis is a shitter. And I've been saying Milwaukee's good. And it's pissing me off that I don't have any proof of it. So you're my damn proof.
Nah, you have to say that shit. I'll give you props, dude. I'll give credits where credit's due. You called a potential Red Sox contention. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I did not. I definitely did not expect them to be like in the fucking lead for the AL East this late. But I was saying I thought they could be a possible wild card team. And I don't know how people were writing them off so much. I mean,
proof is in the PTN posts.
I know, but like, even with those,
I didn't go like fully what I wanted to do there, because I was trying to be a bit of a people pleaser, and I was trying to, because obviously if I would have put the Red Sox in first place before the season started, or even in second place, people would have said like I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, there you have it. Red Man is a crowd factor in regards to standing predictions.
All right, but anyway, let's keep moving here. We got the D-backs and the Padres for the last series in the NL. Padres take it 2-1. The D-backs, their win in game two snaps their 24-game road losing streak.
Wow.
That's embarrassing. But as we stated in the title, what was that?
Phillies are the same way on the road, so I don't have too much room to talk to you.
I don't know if any team's quite the same as that, losing fucking 24 straight.
Nah, it's pretty bad over there. It's pretty bad.
But as we stated in the title, in game one, Tatis goes deep three times.
By the fourth inning.
He's going to break the MLB The Show glitch, or the MLB The Show curse.
Yeah, facts.
But
very true. Very true.
Dennelson Lament also found his way back to the IL. It kind of sucks. Merrill Kelly, nice start from him. 6 shutout innings in game two for the D-backs. And Yu Darvish continues his solid season with 6 innings of 1-run ball and 7 Ks. And on the offensive side, we already talked about Tatis. Tommy Pham went yard twice. And Jake Cronenworth, 4-for-11 with a nuke as well.
I could see Merrill Kelly being a potential trade deadline piece for
– Yeah, definitely. I could definitely see that. I mean, I think anybody on Arizona right now is – they'll at least be taking offers on him.
Yeah.
No
doubt. I think he could be a big one that could go to a definite contended team like the Red Sox. I could probably see them being a top.
Yeah, the Red Sox got to pick up somebody. I really like Jose Berrios with them, though, because I think you said that yesterday, and now I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that wraps up the National League. You can take it away with the American League.
All right, let's waste no time. We got Royals leading it off at the Rangers. Texas sweeps. Kyle Gibson, he's looking real nice this year. I think he has the second lowest ERA in the AL.
No, he's got the lowest.
The lowest. 2.0. In this outing, he went 7, giving up none with 10 Ks. And Jordan Lyles in game 3 went 7 innings, giving up 1 with 4 Ks. I mean, wow, like look at that. Two guys right off the bat in the Rangers rotation. Another team very similar to the D-backs.
Yeah, I definitely think Gibson will get dealt. If they don't deal him, then they're so stupid.
We'll see, man. They could get a lot in return. He's definitely worth it. On the hitting side, Joey Gallo hit 3 fucking nukes in the series, 7 ribbies and 3 walks. And Adolis Garcia was 4-for-8 with 3 ribbies as well with 4 walks to his name. I mean, back to Kyle Gibson, I think we could definitely see him go into a team. If they don't get rid of him, like you said, that would be foolish. I think you could get a lot of hitting pieces. It's around Gallo. I mean, there's nothing really looking good for the Rangers anytime soon. But if you want to start the rebuild phase, I think you definitely get rid of Gibson for a few hitters or a hitter and a pitcher.
Yeah, I could see that. I could even see him shopping Gallo, but
maybe. Maybe. But that 2 ERA has got a lot of things around it that could be offered for it. Anyways, wrap up Texas and the Royals. So we now hop into Seattle playing at Shea Sox. We had a Seattle win in the series 2-1. We're seeing them actually pull off a lot of upsets as of late. We had them beating the shit out of the Rays. And now here we go, them taking over the White Sox. Doubleheader for game 2 and 3. Seattle gets the shutout, 8-0 in game 2, followed by a Chicago win in game 3, 4-1. Game 2 started Saturday and resumed Sunday due to rain. So they had played 2 games in 1 day. And to end the series. Game one, we had a nice start from Yuli Kikuchi. We're seeing his name a lot too, having a lot of nice outings.
Yeah, he's been good this year.
Probably could be their all-star piece, maybe him and J.P. Crawford. Or
yeah, probably Haniger.
Yeah, Haniger definitely.
He's cooled off, but he had a nice series.
No, I think he's got like 16, 17 bombs.
16, yeah, I think 16.
He actually, speaking of him, 6 for 14 in the series with a double homer and 4 ribbies. And for the White Sox, Grandal did poke one out, going 2 for 7. This guy, Torrens, I'm not too familiar with him. What's his first name?
Luis Torrens. He's a catcher, I believe.
Luis Torrens actually had 2 nukes in the series as well, going 2 for 8. So Mariners got a few dinger pieces, but similar situation to the Rangers. Not much hope. But nonetheless, they win the series 2-1. We'll now hop over to Cleveland playing at Minnesota. This one was interesting. We had another 4-game series. Minnesota did take it 2-1, but game 3 is postponed. So yeah, we'll make that up.
It's made up in like August or September or something.
Yep. We had a nice outing from Berrios, as we were just talking about him possibly being a Red Sox piece. I mean, 1 run through 6 1/3 with 9 Ks and 2 walks. Somebody's going to offer him something, you know that.
Yeah, I think I don't know if he's a guy that is definitely going to get traded, because I don't really know what his contract situation is, but I think there's a chance that he does if the Twins get the right offer.
Nah, there'll definitely be an offer for him. Somebody's going to offer him something, I can guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think somebody offered him something. Hopefully the Sox.
Yeah, maybe. Game 3, yeah, J.A. Happ going 6, giving up 2 on 7 Ks. No walks, had control, but they found him and tagged him for 2. But nonetheless, a nice outing. Offensive side, J.D. Used to love him a lot when he was on Toronto. 5 for 11 with a dinger and 3 ribbies. And Luis Arias was 4 for 11 with a double. And Eddie Rosario was the lone offensive performer for the Indians, going 3 for 12 with the nuke himself. Minnesota takes the series 2-1. Game 3 will be made up later in the season. Probably look around the fall for that. Josh Naylor did leave the series with an ankle injury. He was carted off the field. Hope for a speedy recovery, Josh Naylor. So the Yankees, we now hop into them playing at the Red Sox. Boston gets the sweep. Nathan Eovaldi, 7 2/3 with 1 run and 6 Ks, looking really nice in that Red Sox rotation. Followed by Erod in game 3, going 6, giving up 2 on 8 Ks. I mean, Yankees, you add one more piece to that rotation and you're looking at some serious. And I'm not talking postseason contention. That's kind of already a sealed deal there. Unless something bad were to happen, I'm talking you pick up another solid arm and you're looking at another ring.
Possibly. Yankees fans have got to be fucking PO'd right now.
Fuck them.
They're now 0-6 against the Sox this year.
Offensive side, Devers goes 4 for 11, stays hot with a homer and 4 ribbies. Bogarts, I think he's batting like fucking 330 on the season. Is that right? And
yeah, sounds about right. Something like that.
3 doubles in the series. 6 for 11 to his name. Judge poked one out. Wasn't enough. Wasn't anywhere close to enough. His Red Sox sweep. And they go 6-0 on the Yanks this year.
Crazy.
We now hop into Angels at Rays. And kind of expected, Tampa Bay takes the series 2-1. Shane McClanahan looked pretty good in game 2. Did get tagged a little bit for 3, but had 7 Ks and went pretty deep, going 6 innings. Pretty similar situation in game 3 for Ryan Yarbrough. He's been a stingy pitcher. I know when the Phils took a hike down to Tampa, he was very stingy and tough for us to hit. His off speed and his fastball come in all under a 90. And he's kind of like a Jamie Moyer. They kind of referred to him as like a piggyback kind of pitcher, where they have a set amount of innings he's going to do, maybe 2 or 3, four tops and then go right to the pen. But he's been pretty effective this year. Like I said, similar to McClanahan, six innings. He only had four Ks on two runs. G-Man Choi on the offensive side of things did have a homer going 5-for-11 in the series. Drew a couple of walks to his name. And Austin Meadows stays hot, going 6-for-13 with a double. And there's no Angels series if we don't talk about Ohtani. Had two more homers. I mean, this guy, I looked at his stats. He has at least a hit every day of the month, both months that we've been in so far, except for a few given days. I mean, he's seeing it. Seeing it well at the plate. Pitching, for the most part, I'd say he's solid, but, I mean, holy shit. I just hope that this derby doesn't fuck his swing up.
Yeah, me too. I don't know, though. I was on the Vlad Jr. side of things for the MVP race, but I might have to say Shohei now because he's not hitting that. I mean, he is hitting a decent amount worse than Vlad because Vlad's on another planet right now, but he's also got the pitching, and he hasn't been the greatest pitcher, but he's been above average for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. If he can keep that, I think now it's kind of, you know, he's going to hit well. It's now let's work a little bit more on the pitching and just stay dominating at the plate.
So if you had an MVP ballot in front of you right now, whose name are you checking next to?
Ohtani all day.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to say Ohtani too, because Vlad's on some other shit. But
the only way I would give it to Vlad is Triple Crown. If that is the way he is getting MVP this year, is if he gets Triple Crown.
Well, he's leading in every stat except average, and he's second in average behind Brantley. But he's leading in homers, RBIs, on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, hits, WRC+, WAR, pretty much everything.
All right. So with that being said, if it ended today, I would give it Ohtani. But when we look at a whole 162 game season and it stays the way it is, where he's just not leading an average, then I would actually may have to look a little deeper and break down a few more stats, maybe giving it to Vlad.
Yeah, we'll see. Because I don't know. I mean, if Ohtani can sustain what he's doing right now, is hitting and pitching throughout a whole entire season, it's going to be hard to vote against him, to be honest.
Agreed. But anyways, we wrap up Tampa Bay and the Angels. Tampa Bay gets the 2-1 win. Let's hop over to O's and the Blue Jays. We had a Toronto win in the series, 3-1. This was a four-game set. They did go to extras in game two, went to the 10th inning. Baltimore came out on top, the 6-5 W, but it was not enough. Hyunjin Ryu looked real nice in game two, going 6 2/3. Only did give up four, got tagged early, but settled down. And there wasn't a lot of other series standouts in regards to pitching. There was a lot of offense in the series.
Vladdy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how about it? Back him up. 6-for-16. Three homers, six ribbies on the series with a double. And no one's stopping this guy. No one's stopping him.
He's a beast.
We're now going to hop over to Astros and Tigers. This one was a split. I think we've had about five or six splits so far. Add another one to it, Tigers and Stros. Kind of embarrassing for the Stros, if you ask me. They were low-scoring games, both of Detroit's Ws. Their pitching looked pretty nice.
They had nice outings from freaking Tariq Skubal, who I like, and Casey Mize, huh? They're young boys.
Into the game, going seven innings, had nine Ks to his name, only three walks and one earned run. Real nice.
And I see the goat Akil Badu over there.
Yes, you do. Was 4-for-12 in the series with two doubles. Really, the only Detroit guy that came through at the plate. Miles Straw, though, had a real nice series, went 7-for-12 with two walks and two stolen bases. Yuli Gurriel stays hot, 6-for-14 with two walks. Not a lot of homers in the series, but Astros and Tigers split 2-2, and that'll wrap up the AL. You want to do Interleague real quick?
Yeah, we got one Interleague series. personally one of the most exciting, I thought, of the weekend. We got the A's at the Giants, little Bay battle here. Giants get their 50th win, first team to 50 wins this season. That's insane. They take the first two games. Oakland takes game three, and the Giants take the series 2-1. Johnny Cueto in game one, 7 shutout innings. Told you, you were talking crap on him a bit.
I was.
And I told you, he's a nice veteran piece for him. And there he is. He shows out.
He has definitely silenced me.
He has. And there wasn't a huge amount of offense in this game, but one standout, we had Donovan Solano with a dinger. 3-for-11 on the series. I'm just super impressed. I am impressed with this freaking Giants team, because not only are they leading their division, which nobody expected, but they're beating out the Dodgers and the Padres, and not just by a little. I mean, they got a 3.5 game lead over the Dodgers and a 4.5 game lead over the Padres, and they play the Dodgers.
Probably going to stay like that too.
I really hope so. That'd be an awesome story, because they were both projected to be the best two teams in the league. And if the fucking Giants come in there and take them out, that'd be awesome.
Yep. Two of those three teams are going to take the wild card. So that's why everybody else has to push for their division. There's no wild card push this year.
Yeah, I feel like, whatever two teams don't win the NL West is going to get the wild card.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a race for the division. But we got power rankings and trivia.
Yeah, we got to hurry this up. I got to get to work.
How about we skip the power rankings then this week and get to the good stuff trivia?
All right. I know everybody looks forward to that. Let's get into it. No time of wasting. I'll start you off with the first question. It is Nats related, as always. What is the most hits? Oh, shit.
Wait, what is it?
Hold up.
This guy coming unprepared.
You motherfucker!
I can't see the question in the picture. Hold up.
You motherfucker. Bear with me.
What is the most runs the Nationals have scored in a single game?
Most runs we've ever scored in a single game?
Yes.
I'm going to say 26, because I think we beat the Mets like 26-3 one time.
You were right with the game. You were a run off in each direction. It was 25-4.
Damn it. Well, that was pretty damn close. I remember Rendon went yard 3 times that game.
Yep. I do remember that as well.
I thought it. I could have swore it was fucking 26. Damn it.
25-4 and 28.
All right. Well, I will start you off with yours. I have an interesting question that you – well, it's a different question, we'll say. I got to bring it up real quick. Hold up. All right. Here we go. So, this is a Phillies question, obviously. And if my Mickey D's phone would load, I would tell you. Oh, my God. All right, here we go. Name 5 of the 10. I'm looking at the top 10 home run leaders for the Phillies right now. Name me 5 of the players that are in the top 10.
Top 10, 4.
All time for the Phillies, all time home run leaders. I need you to name me 5 of the top 10.
All right, bet. Howard, Schmitty.
1. That is 2.
Utley.
That is 3.
Lieberthal.
Nope. And how about you get 3 wrong. You can have 3 wrong. And if you get 3 wrong before you get 5 right, you're done.
All right. Worth.
Nope.
Wow. Okay. Dykstra?
No.
Really?
Dykstra, he wasn't a big home run guy.
Stairs?
That was 3 wrong anyway, so Some guys that you missed were Dick Allen, Jimmy Rollins, Greg Luzinski.
No way, J-Roll's on there.
Pat Burrell. And the other guys are really old. Probably wouldn't know them.
J-Roll made the top five?
Top 10.
Holy shit.
Yep. 216 nukes.
Damn. He had the tenure.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're both 0-0.
All right, your second question is, who has the record for most three-homer games all time? It is. I will give you the answer. It is Sammy Sosa, and how many is it? Most three-homer games in one season.
It's Sosa, you said, and I need to tell you how many it was.
Yes.
Three homer games in one season, not his career.
In one season.
Huh. I'm going to say four.
It was three.
Wow. Motherfucker. All right.
0-2.
I got one for you now. This is going to, don't forget, you can use a hint.
Right.
Last relief pitcher to win the MVP award.
Wow. NL or AL?
You want a hint?
Yes. NL or AL?
It is AL.
AL. Relief pitcher. Was it Billy Wagner?
It was not. It was the Eckersley.
Oh, shit.
We are both bombing the trivia. Eckersley in 92 with the A's. He won it.
All right. I could have sworn that would be Billy. All right. Here's your last question. What did Ichiro hit in his highest batting average season?
Shit. Do I have to get it spot on, or if I get like within five, will you give it to me?
I will give you within three.
Wow, you fucker. It's kind of hard to use a hint for this. All right, I will ask for a hint. What year did he hit this highest mark?
He hit this highest mark early in his career, making it the year of 2004.
All right. I'm going to say like 353.
Way off.
Really?
372.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
What a beast.
Exactly.
372. You do not see guys hitting that anymore.
All right. Tell me my last question. I got to get my ass to work.
All right. I will. You know, one of my favorite players of all time is Joe Mauer. If you didn't know that, he is. And I got a question for you about him. In his MVP season in 2009, this is a similar question to yours, actually. What was his batting average? And I will not be a D-bag, and I will let you get it within five.
All right. I believe he hit 320.
Is that your final answer, Theo?
Yes.
Donnie, you're out of your element.
He hit 365.
No way.
He did. From behind the dish. Holy, let's just both go 0 for fucking 3.
Damn.
Well, that keeps it at 11-7 for the trivia. I'm still in the lead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it.
We both got to go to work.
Trivia. I am going to go sit on a chair for 8 hours and do absolutely nothing. And we will see you guys on Friday.
Sounds good. See you guys on Friday.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.